Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the results of abandoning God. Have you wondered why we see chaos across our nation? Riots, vandalism, burning of buildings, taking of lives, and there's silence in the Beltway in Washington? It is because we have abandoned God. As one writer called it, forgetting God. We have literally abandoned God. And ladies and gentlemen, it is as a result of having abandoned God so many years ago. Perhaps you're not old enough to think back on it. I am, still less than 100. But I recall back in the days that I was in school, grade school, it was not unusual at all. It was the norm. We'd have the pledge to the flag. We would have the scripture reading. We would have open prayer. We would have the scripture memory so that you're required to memorize verses. Yes, I'm talking about in public school. Remember memorizing scripture verses, standing and repeating them in the classroom. And there was actual discipline in the classroom. If a child disobeyed, the teacher had the authority to spank that child. The kids in the classroom were there to learn, not to frolic and play and to cause calamity in the classroom. But after we abandoned God, and it started this devolution that we're in today, that's bringing about the revolution, is as a result of going back to the early 60s with Madeleine Murray O'Hara and her suit against the U.S. Department of Education to take prayer and Bible out of the classroom. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that ultimately took place over a 2-3 year period of time where prayer was taken out, Bible was taken out, and that's supposed to be against the law, federally speaking, to have prayer and Bible in the classroom. We abandoned God. And ladies and gentlemen, that abandoning God, we abandoned God, we abandoned God's word, no longer would have prayer and Bible in the public classroom, no longer do we have discipline in the public schools, much discipline is lacking in the homes. Our children, ladies and gentlemen, for several generations now, have been educated by socialist, Marxist, communist teachers and professors. Now, you can challenge that if you like. I dare you to research it and point it out in any way, any fashion, that I've made an incorrect statement. 97 to 99% of those professors in colleges and universities identify with the socialist, Marxist, communist left. 99% of them, if not more, of our left-wing fake false media identify with the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Democratic Party on the left. Our kids have been taught for all of these past several generations, for all of these years, ladies and gentlemen, they've been taught by professors and teachers that disavow God, dislike God, disbelieve God, and will challenge. In fact, on one occasion, I read an article a number of years ago where a professor said that his position in the classroom was to take those kids standing before him that had been, in his words, brainwashed with the Bible and with religious parents, that he was going to re-educate them, that they had truly been brainwashed by the parents, and it was not true. So he was going to have to retrain them in their thinking. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic leadership feels today, that somehow, some way, if you're a Christian, if you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, if you love the Lord, if you believe the Bible, that you're just simply a little dumb nitwit, and as a result of that, you need to be re-educated in some fashion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these same students that have been brought up in this educational system, by the way, let me just tuck in, I believe the best thing President Trump could do in his second term would be to defund the U.S. Department of Education, close it down, remand education back to the State Departments of Education, every State Department of Education, remand education back to the local boards of education, so moms and dads can once again take control of what's being taught in the classroom. We are not teaching academics in the classroom. This is the reason we have high school graduates that cannot read and write. This is the reason we have many today with undergraduate and graduate and postgraduate degrees that are ignorant of the truth of anything that's called U.S. history and our constitutional republic, any way, shape, or form. This is the reason we find, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, This is the reason we're finding students today that were trained in that area that are the same ones today that had the black outfits on out in the street, the Black Lives Matter, which, by the way, I've said 1,000 times on this broadcast, BLM, Black Lives Matter, does not stand for skin tonation or pigmentation of the skin whatsoever. It is the socialist, Marxist, communist thugs in the street carrying out the riots and the vandalism, the looting, the burning, and the killing. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, the BLM and the Antifa are out to overthrow our constitutional republic and all that it was built upon. Our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, gave us the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and our Bill of Rights, all of which today has the fundamental foundation coming from the Word of God. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've abandoned God. We've forgotten God. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in what some would call a la-la land. We're living in a state of animation. We're living in a condition in America today where you cannot wake up of a morning and have any assurance of what that day will be like. We're living in a nation today, ladies and gentlemen, we do not know whether we'll be able to stay open in business or not tomorrow. Joe Biden has already said that if he's elected president, that he will lock down again if, quote, scientists deems it necessary. Since when have we surrendered the authority of the presidential office to men in white jackets that have faulty data that will then give faulty, fallacious, phony theoretical ideas of what the president should do in protecting America? We've got a good track record, ladies and gentlemen, of Dr. Fauci's being almost 100% wrong on everything he said for the past 50 years when it comes to the medical research and what ought to be done for a nation. We've discovered that Dr. Tedros, with WHO, is absolutely fallacious and wrong. CDC and World Health Organization have modified, changed, and modified again, flip-flopped about every 30 to 60 days on everything they've said through this pandemic. And yet we're to believe that somehow, some way, Joe Biden can go in as president and he will have the full knowledge and intellectual capability of making a decision of whether or not we lock down our churches and lock down our businesses and destroy the American industry and trade and commerce again, as we have already done in the past as a result of fallacious, phony, false information given about the health of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the results of abandoning God in our schools, in our homes, and in the political arena. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little litany, a little overview of where we are in America as a result of abandoning God. Now, for you out there that are listening, and you say, well, we can't have Bible in the classroom, that's unconstitutional. Where is it in the Constitution? I want somebody to call me, tell me what line, what page you find in the Constitution where it says that when we get saved, when we're Christians, that we abandon our religious liberties and our freedom of speech. Show me where that's found in the Constitution. Show me any place where there is a wall of separation of church and state found in the Constitution. That was an illicit, unconstitutional, irrational determination of previous Supreme Court justices that believe in a Constitution that's a living document rather than a static document that's to be read and interpreted in its static state as it was written. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today legalized murder of babies in the womb. It's legalized because the U.S. Extreme Court ruled in Roe versus Wade 1973 that you could commit murder by way of abortion, and it's legal. And that's as a result of abandoning God. God's word says, thou shalt not kill. We cannot debate it. We cannot argue it and anyway make it change the facts of what the Word of God says. So we've abandoned the Word of God, and as a result of abandoning the Word of God, we've legalized murder of babies in the womb. We have legalized euthanasia for seniors, and now there's some 17 states, ladies and gentlemen, where doctors have the legal authority to kill a senior. That senior can say, I'm tired of living. And in 17 states in the United States of America today, the physician can dispatch that senior. It's bad enough that we're murdering babies in the womb, and even after they go through an abortion process, they still survive. You can take that baby and put it on a table and wait and keep it comfortable until it dies, according to the governor of Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to have legalized murder by way of abortion, murdering those that are indefensible, murdering those that cannot defend themselves, murdering those that are still in the mother's womb. But now we've got to the elevated state, the enlightened state in America, where it's all right to murder seniors by way of death, the decision, the determination of a physician. And there are other states, ladies and gentlemen, time. We're not going to delve into that portion, that particular part for this broadcast today. But there's about another dozen states that's already in the process of trying to get legislation in place. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what Dr. Kevorkian did in the mid-90s now is legalized in the United States of America to kill the young in the womb and to kill the senior that's gotten to the point of not being able to help themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that's as a result of abandoning the Word of God. We have legal sodomite marriages today as a result of abandoning God's word. We have absolutely abandoned the word of God. We have ceased to recognize God. We've forgotten God. God's word has been put on the back shelf, if there at all, in most homes today, and certainly in governmental circles today. As a result of that, we've legalized sodomite marriages. Never mind the fact that you had Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, in the scripture. Never mind the fact that God created male and female, created he them. Never mind the fact that today we have those in the LGBTQ sodomite agenda folks that are saying somehow, some way, that there's over 100 genders, that gender is a fluid matter and it's not static. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this is because we've abandoned God. We've legalized gambling nationally. We've legalized pot in about 30 states today. Pot is legal in some fashion, and they're pushing for it to be on the federal level. Federal level. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned because what we're seeing today in this almost at a civil war level is as a result of abandoning God. I believe Jose is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother. I agree with you 100%. You know what bugs me the most? The wicked and the evil people that don't know God, you know, that could, we can say that they've been used by the devil himself, because that's what it is. Either you are on God's side or you are on the devil's side. What bothers me the most is those so-called Christians, that they don't want to talk about these issues from the pulpit. They are too afraid to speak truth. And let me ask you this, brother. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. If we don't speak out against this evil that is going on, who will? And who got into these so-called pastors, not to talk about these issues, but to be loved by the world? Because the church needs to be told what's going on. This is a spiritual battle that is going on, but nobody dared to do it. I guess they want to please everybody. They want to please the devil and they want to please God. That's, I never heard that before. And my last comment, I was talking to a pastor, and I told his pastor, hey, pastor, I'd rather have you as the mayor of Jacksonville to having somebody that has no fear of God. Because he's one of those pastors that he said that he doesn't like to get involved in politics. I said, wait a minute. If we are not that we know the truth, the devil is going to get into office, universities, high schools, and that's what we see. We see all those hippies from the 60s smoking pots and things like that, trying to change everything that is normal while we are sitting down, like sitting ducks, doing nothing. Oh, no, I'm not going to get involved in politics. We don't. The devil is, and he's pushing all those wicked laws that, believe it or not, Christians or not Christian have to abide by. It's unfortunate, brother. I'd rather see you as the mayor of Jacksonville than any other wicked guy that has no fear of the Lord. God bless you, brother. Keep listening.
God bless you, Jose, and thank you so much for that input. You're exactly right. And ladies and gentlemen, it stems back to 1954 with the Johnson Amendment to a transportation bill that allowed the IRS then to start prosecuting or persecuting Christians if the pastor of the churches said anything about the political arena. That law has now been put on the shelf as of May of 2017 by the executive order with President Donald J. Trump. But listen very carefully. Even going back before President Trump's canceling that amendment and that legal if you please, hammer that was used by the IRS before May of 2017, when President Trump, by executive order, canceled that. That was never enforced because it was an unconstitutional law that was passed by way of an amendment to a transportation bill. Ladies and gentlemen, it's as a result of the government at that time wanting to make sure that Christians were silenced when it comes to the doctrinal, theological teaching being brought into a political arena and being able to stand in the pulpit and say who to vote for and who not to vote for. It has never been enforceable, and it is not the law today, but many pastors use that as a crock. They use that as an excuse. They use that because they do not have a spiritual spine or backbone to stand for the truth of the Word of God. If Jesus had had that mindset, he would never walk through the temple with a bullwhip in his hand and clean cloth. If the Apostle Paul had been fearful of taking a stand for the truth, we'd have never seen what the Apostle Paul was able to do, because God used him to write, be the human author of 14 of the 27 New Testament books as a result of his stand. If Peter had believed that crock, he would have never stood and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said so many times on this broadcast, Christian pastors need to grow a spine. They need to put on big boy pants, come out of the closet, come out from under the bed, and speak the truth, and do so from the rudimentary fundamental foundation of the Word of God. But because we have abandoned God in our schools, in our homes, and in the political arena, we've legalized murder by way of abortion. We've legalized euthanasia for seniors in some 17 states now, where doctors can dispatch your grandma or granddaddy or mom or dad. We've legalized sodomite marriages. We've legalized gambling. We've legalized pot now in some 30 states. And through the LGBTQ agenda, ladies and gentlemen, which is on the political horizon today, it has caused many to bow and to bend and to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. The lewd, licentious activity of the legalization of pedophilia and the perverts preying on our girls and our women and our mothers and our grandmothers in the locker rooms and the shower rooms and the dressing rooms. All of it's legal today, ladies and gentlemen. And in California recently, they passed a law allowing adult perverts, pedophiles, to legally have sex with children as young as 8 years of age. And it's because we've abandoned God. We've abandoned God's word. No longer, ladies and gentlemen, do we find it imperative, even as Christian parents, for the most part, to teach the Word of God to the sons and daughters and say they're biblical absolutes. We're teaching our children today, ladies and gentlemen, to simply ignore God, because I have discovered in all of the years that I've had the privilege of being in Christian education, Christian lore in higher education, and in pastoral ministry, most parents want their child to grow up, have good grades, and then to be in a position of getting into a recognized school and having wonderful, prestigious credentials. They're interested in that more than they're interested in that child knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over to your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. David R. Reagan from Lamb and Lion Ministries, but I was going to read two paragraphs, but I don't want to read it if it's, you know, it's because I'm not giving my comments. I'm giving his summation of the situation.
Feel free to do that. Be careful with the time so that we can continue, if you would.
Okay. Believers have the hope of escape from this steadily darkening world of immorality and violence. That hope is called the rapture of the church, which will occur before the Great Tribulation begins. Yes, church-age believers, both the living and the dead, will be taken off this planet before God begins pouring out his wrath on the world's rebellious nations. Does the sealed fate of our nation mean we are to do nothing? Not at all. We are to be salt and light, standing up for and speaking out in behalf of righteousness. But far more important, we are to share the gospel with as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, because the signs of the times clearly indicate we are living on borrowed time.
I couldn't have stated that better myself. That's exactly right. We're on the slippery slope on the high hill of the mountainside, going into the abyss that we shall never return from. But the hope that we have as Christians and the guaranteed assurance that we have as believers is that one day soon we'll be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world in the rapture of the church. But knowing what we know, brother, we should understand that God is allowing us to see what we're seeing with the persecution, the prosecution of the church, and with the corruption that's taking place in the political arena. It should cause us to have passion to warn others, to be the watchman on the wall, and to warn them that there's coming a day that it will be eternally too late. Joseph, thank you so much for your call and for your input. You're exactly right, brother. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of what we're seeing in abandoning God, and forgetting God, today there's a definite difference in the two candidates that we have up for election. One is running for office today, ladies and gentlemen, as president for re-election, and that's Donald J. Trump. But ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the ones that are running as the socialist Marxist progressives, as they like to call it, on the socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. They're running for office. But ladies and gentlemen, to even recognize that these two are running for the highest office in the nation, it's hard for me to grasp where they stand and what they're doing. It is a battle that's taking place today, and it's a demonic battle being played out, fought out in the hearts and the lives of those in the political arena. Here's an article that says, Biden or die. A yard sign appears in Colorado following the murder of a Trump supporter. A man was murdered for his political preferences, and it has secretly attracted a peep, not a peep, from the national media. And even Republican politicians have been relatively quiet about it. If Lee Keltner, the victim of the Denver shooting, was left-wing, gay, or an ethnic minority, this would not just have been on front-page news for days. There'd be riots in the street, looting. Al Sharpton would have even gotten on his private jet already to come. There would be panel discussion, teaching moments, and the lambasting of those who tried to speak out about the matter while not having experienced the type of discrimination Keltner had experienced, supposedly. But only if he was on the left, if he were gay or an ethnic minority. But because Keltner was a white man who supported President Donald Trump, his life, we are reminded, didn't matter at all. It doesn't matter. Keltner was left dead on the ground with a bullet in his head, the result of the Antifa-friendly activist and Antifa-friendly news report who wanted him dead, reporter who wanted him dead. And they want you dead, too. They want you dead, this article says. They even put up yard signs now saying, Biden or die. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an elongated article on that, and it's taking place, and that's the mindset of the, I call it the loose likes, lost Looney Tunes that's running for the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. But ladies and gentlemen, if Joe Biden is elected, they'll destroy our Constitution. They will pack the Supreme Court. They will confiscate our weapons and cancel our Second Amendment. In fact, here's an article that states that very clearly. Joe Biden told voters, the Second Amendment does not protect an individual right to own a weapon. During a September 19th, 2019 town hall hosted by the New Hampshire ABC affiliate, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden made it extremely clear that he does not believe the Second Amendment protects the individual right to keep and bear arms. During the event, Biden was asked, do you agree with the D.C. versus Heller decision in regards to the protecting of the individual right to bear arms and that are common in use and which are utilized for lawful purposes? Biden responded in part, if I were on the court, I wouldn't have made the same ruling as the one in the D.C. versus Heller. He goes further. Aides from the denunciation of Heller and the denial of the Second Amendment protects the rights of individuals to keep and bear arms. Biden also displayed a fundamental misunderstanding of the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment was not given as a right by the Supreme Court or by the Constitution, rather by the courts, and it was given to us by God. But Biden's position on Heller and the Second Amendment is in line with his running mate, Kamala Harris. In fact, Kamala Harris has already said very clearly that if you did not register your guns, they would confiscate your weapons. That's the position that she has taken very openly and definitively. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of abandoning God, forgetting God. As a result of that, we're reaping the harvest today, the fruit of abandoning God. and we've abandoned God, we've forgotten God for the past 60 years, and a result of that, we're seeing the fruit of that harvest today. They will give us open borders and millions of additional illegal immigrants. They will give American social medicine care free, so they say, paid for by those who are working. They will provide free education for kindergarten through university, paid for by those that are working. They will destroy our religious liberties and cancel our rights as we know them under our Bill of Rights today. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing what people are not recognizing and not dealing with in this very seminal election that we're approaching now. Biden threatens religious freedom, suggests Christians with certain traditional values are simply dregs of society. I shared this article a few times on this broadcast. I think it is very important for us to recognize the Democrats may outwardly campaign on a platform of unity and diversity, but his candidacy truly represents a threat to traditional religious beliefs, according to this article. In fact, he goes on to talk about in a 2018 speech, Biden described conservatives who oppose the LGBTQ activism as dregs of society. That's how we're viewed today, ladies and gentlemen, dregs of society. And it's as a result of abandoning God, forgetting God. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Biden administration goes into play, if we have to live under a Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, churches and schools and Christian organizations will absolutely be in jeopardy. Here's a good illustration of it, ladies and gentlemen. This is an article about what's happening in Virginia. Churches, Christian schools, and pro-life ministry standing up to Virginia's alarming new law. Today, this article says Alliance Defending Freedom filed a lawsuit challenging a new Virginia law on behalf of Calvary Road Baptist Church. Under the law, churches, religious schools, ministries cannot make employment decisions based on their employees' actions, even if those actions contradict the religious beliefs. Never mind the fact that in June, the Supreme Court ruled Our Lady of Guadalupe that religious organizations have the First Amendment freedom right to select those who hold certain important positions, especially messengers and teachers of faith. The Virginia law prevents religious schools from limiting admittance to the school to those whose families share their religious beliefs, and ministries offer sex-specific accommodation. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on and on in the article about the new law that's just gone into effect in the state of Virginia that is a good benchmark as to what will happen if Joe Biden goes in as president. House Bill 5, that was voted with 240 votes in the House, 47 votes in the Senate so far, 47 senators so far. That House Bill 5 is the absolute LGBTQ agenda that will be enforced upon every church, every school, every religious organization in America if Joe Biden is elected president. And all of this, ladies and gentlemen, is because we have abandoned God. We've forgotten God. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for the Bible says, our redemption draweth near. We need to pray as we've never prayed before for God to divinely intervene and reelect President Donald J. Trump. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on the broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.